One episode left. Welcome back to Off Air Flare, our Game of Thrones review series, where we've reviewed every single episode in this final season.
We sure have. And here we are embarking on, this is the next to last episode.
The penultimate.
And we are sitting here, and you made the perfect analogy as to how you feel this whole season has been laid out.
I feel like this entire series has been one collective group project.
Right.
And the first seven seasons were done by the people who worked their butts off. They put everything in good shape. Mm-hmm. Everything is in good order. It built and built and built. And this season is that last guy who thought he was going to get all the work done for him, who's left out to dry. And now it's the day before the report's due. Gotta hurry, gotta hurry, gotta hurry. And you just throw it together. I mean, there are ninja blenders that don't mess stuff up this bad.
Thanks a lot, Carl. Yeah. You made us all get a C minus.
That's right. That's exactly how I feel about
this. It does feel very, like, rushed. It feels very much so, you know, even extending some of the episodes to make them more like mini movies, or movies rather. It just feels like, gotta hurry up and do this because we told y'all this is the last
right.
one. I'd much rather you have split it up to just hour-long episodes and we have like 12, 13 episodes to build, have a little action, have a little more storyline, but now it's just like boom, 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 go.
And that's, I think that's it for me, is it's like we've been slow and methodical all the way throughout.
Mm-hmm.
We've had our moments.
Yes.
And I realize as you get down to the end, they're trying to complete storylines, and
course.
I understand every bit of that.
Go for it.
But don't finish three dozen storylines
mm-hmm.
in one night. Finish it. I mean, if you're going to have bits and pieces, you have plenty of points in that mix where you could stop. You could have stopped and then gone to next week. Stopped and gone to next week
yeah.
without ruining the flow. You would have had all of us on a cliffhanger going, oh my God. Now, to be perfectly honest, I almost don't care.
I'm almost to the point where there are so many people, and we're going to talk about this, obviously.
Absolutely.
That their storyline wrapped up this past weekend. And I'm like, so now what's left? We're going to watch Danny go crazy? Is that the whole premise
well,
of this last episode?
Somebody put it to me in a way that I feel like really works out well, and I didn't really give it enough credit. This, when you look at a book, for example, when you read any sort of storybook or a theme, there's always an epilogue. And I feel like this is pretty much the season wrap, and then next week will be the epilogue. Not a 5 years later thing, but I figure the first half of that show will be finishing out the storylines,
right.
which we'll get into
and
our
then
predictions
we're
for
gonna
those.
We're going to fast forward.
And
maybe.
Then we're going to go 5 years in the future, five,
yeah.
10 years in the future.
You know, if Dany was pregnant,
right.
here's her
or
with her.
However that works out.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I think
Brand
that's...
with Tormund. Yeah.
But
living the wildland life.
This is kind of, in terms of combat battle, this
yeah.
is the pinnacle. There may be some things next week. In fact, I think there's going to be some things next
week.
They're
going to have to be some
things.
But I
don't think it's going
to
be nearly as drastic in terms of battle emotional drain. It will be M. Night Shyamalan twisty next week.
Oh, yeah, like the road was on the other side of the trees the whole time.
Exactly.
You're like, oh, great.
Oh, yeah, he was dead, too.
Yeah, this is all like Sam just telling a goodnight story to his little kid.
Oh,
what?
My gosh.
No, I just came up with that one out of nowhere.
Oh, that's amazing.
Nowhere. Oh, of nowhere.
It's academic.
I mean, I just sit here and just was like, you know what? This is what it'd be like. Because we found out that Gilly's preggers.
Oh, my goodness.
What
that is amazing.
It's just a good night story that Sam's been telling this whole time. Everybody's real, but he's just embellished it. Or maybe he just made it up. Maybe he made it up. No, Jon Snow is real. All that. He just came up with this whole,
wow.
like.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be cool?
I have not. That is
yes.
totally off.
It's almost like The Princess Bride, but like in medieval.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Look at that.
I see dead people.
Wouldn't that be great?
Oh,
what if that,
that is amazing.
What if that's what happened and I just predicted it right here?
And no one else has said that. Yeah. I have not seen that anywhere.
You heard it first here on Off Air Flare.
There you go. There it is.
That Atkins shake I had for lunch really did. When you're limiting your carbs again, you really do open the mindset.
That's it. Oh, my gosh. All right, let's jump into it. We've foreshadowed / complained enough.
Yeah, I think so. So we're just going to just start it off of what it is. It's pretty much some drama in the beginning.
Right. Tyrion approaches Daenerys, acknowledged that, I mean, really fell on the sword here after, you know, last week, the previous week finished with his and Varys' back and forth. And so Tyrion doing what he feels is the right thing, which I think in Tyrion's progression has become a new thing, to be emboldened enough to, it's one thing to slap Joffrey around. It's another thing to walk up to the queen who has no bones about killing you. And saying, we have a problem. And I don't know if that's, is that self-preservation? Is that love for his queen? Where does that come from?
I don't know if that's it. Because there's part of it that, like, as we talk more about Tyrion, Tyrion has done a lot of soul searching. And Tyrion has changed from the dwarf who was a drunkard. And all he wanted to do was hang out with prostitutes and just have these funny little quips that everyone's like, ha ha, he's great. To, like, a very smart political mindset.
See, I think the smart and political was always there. It was just not utilized.
But I mean, he was too drunk to know it was there. And you know, he was in he was in the shadow of his father. He was in the shadow of Cersei and of Jaime and everything else. And then as he kind of, you know, ran for his life when everyone thought he killed Joffrey at the wedding, it allowed him an opportunity to become that particular Tyrion. But I do think he did a lot of soul searching, and I think most of it, honestly, was love for the country, love for the greater good. Because as it goes on in the conversation, like a little foreshadowing, it's part of what we're going to talk about, his conversation with Jaime, and he makes the comment, one bad dwarf for thousands of innocent lives is not a bad trade. Right. So I think he has in the back of his mind, he wants, I mean, he supports Daenerys on the throne. He thinks that she would be a good ruler, but he also wants it to be with as little bloodshed as possible.
Right.
Because I think he sees in her the potential to become mad like those Targaryens before her. And I mean, her face in some of the scenes, I mean, she was ape crazy.
I mean, they've been leading to that concept.
Yeah, and here she is.
And
boom, 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 boom.
Well, we'll get into that, but it's kind of there. I mean,
it'd be there.
You've seen it, and we've talked about it. I'm like, this is a downhill.
It started with the Starbucks cup.
It started well before that. But this downhill spiral has been ongoing. And I did find it interesting that, yet again, he pleads with her to protect the people. And he still continues to give Cersei an out. Like, she hates you, dude. She wants you dead.
She's wanted him
why
dead.
Why is she giving, why are you giving her a pass? I mean, is this two wrongs don't make a right? Is this making amends for all you've done? What are we doing?
I think it's just loyalty. I think Tyrion is probably one of the most loyal characters of the whole thing. And because that is his sibling, just like Jaime, but Jaime was on a different level. I think it was pretty much to the fact, like, let me save my... It's almost like, I can talk crap about my sibling, but you better not talk crap about my sibling.
Right.
To that not that extreme, but it's like, I can go and punch her in the back of the head, but if you came and punched her in the back of the head, you and I gonna have problems. It's that whole kind of encompassing, the blood is thicker than water thing. That's what I think. And her being pregnant, too. I think he has a soft spot for that. She's lost all her children. And she loved being a mother. Let's say what we can say about Cersei. She was crazy. We got it. But even Jaime said she would do anything for her children.
Yeah.
And that's what fueled a lot of her madness was, you know, Joffrey and yada, yada, yada. So I think that's kind of what that was. But what does it lead to? It leads to someone getting burned by a dragon.
It also, in this conversation, we also catch wind that Jaime has been captured. Again, we'll get into that because there is some longer versed conversation to go along with it. Because of the conversation, you see multiple scrolls on Varys's desk.
Yes, he's been doing some. He's been writing.
And all those scrolls are going on Ravens. The question is, did they ever make it to the Ravens?
True.
Because if you had a chance to read through the blip of writing, it was totally acknowledging that Jon Snow's the rightful heir. And I find that interesting. I don't find it interesting. I feel like he's putting those feelers out there and is letting everybody know. Because, again, the greater good of the realm. That's been his story. We talked about that last week. He wants to focus on the greater good for the realm, for the country. So I'm curious how many of those ravens made it out, for starters. Because he had only written about three. And you don't know what he's been doing this whole time. You don't know how much. I mean, they never really are clear about how much time has transpired.
Right.
Did, you know, Tyrion go to her immediately after they had their conversation? Did they wait a couple days? Because it's given enough time for Jon to ride his way south, which was going to take a couple of days, a couple of weeks possibly, so if they were to hard ride straight through.
Yeah, maybe the next episode, like, it comes to light. Yeah,
he sent out a bunch.
Yeah, I mean, he went on and sent out those mailers.
Right.
He went on Facebook and was like, boop.
He sent out those political flyers we'll be seeing here in a couple of months.
Yeah, he was like, here's your key to a free car.
Right.
Like, here you go. Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to look at it. And he was talking to that child. And that was a kind of...
Little Bird.
Oh, yeah.
Little Bird.
Little Bird. Okay, well.
I mean, all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, he's always made mention of the Little Birds. And mm-hmm. I think it's funny that he uses children for that.
Mm-hmm.
Totally innocuous. Never suspect.
You would never like, say that kid's spreading.
That guy, and well, that nobody holds their tongue around children because they assume they're stupid children.
Yeah.
The problem is he has trained his little birds, and that's why that news travels, because A, nobody's going to worry about saying anything to them, and because most of them are chambermaids, and you know,
right,
they're serving.
They're filling up like wine goblets.
Right, like Arya filled up wine for Tywin for months.
Yeah, and she learned a lot.
Learned a lot of insight,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, didn't really know what to do with it. So,
correct.
Also, a lot of credit to Varys, one of my favorite characters for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I have finally fallen victim to the, I have a favorite character, and they got aced. A lot of people have had that across the board, like Ned Stark, and Robb Stark. See, those guys to me were like, these are not major players. Mm-hmm. This is great. Eh, whatever. Catelyn Stark, meh, whatever.
Yeah, she was kind of, I didn't like
yeah,
her.
But I'm just
saying. Horrible to Jon.
If you look at those, like Mormont, the head of the Night's Watch.
Yeah.
Meh. Whatever.
Yeah.
Joffrey, deuces.
Yeah,
you know
bye.
What I'm saying? Like, there hasn't been that one guy that's gotten aced, and I'm like,
oh.
Dang it. Well, Varys
really?
Is my one. It took me all the way to the last season before I connected with the character enough where I'm like, because I felt like he's going to withstand the test.
Yeah.
He is the public knowledge version of Sam. He's the Sam in the trenches. He's mm-hmm. the reason that the Scepters write their stories, because Varys is in the know. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, he's the guy. He has the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
He has the knowledge where someone like a Littlefinger would have the knowledge and use it to,
for
like,
profitability.
Right.
Which is what he did.
Well, he has the knowledge, and he's trying to kind of move and shake and kind mm-hmm. of work behind the scenes
exactly.
on a political standpoint
yep.
for the greater good. So I can see that.
Littlefinger was only for the betterment of
Littlefinger. Well, I mean, I'm talking about Varys.
Yes, 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 yes.
So, well, I'm
sorry
Varys
for your
loss.
I think Varys was the sharer of information as opposed to Littlefinger was trying to manipulate it in his way, in his own
he wanted
way to get to the
yeah,
Iron Throne.
He wanted to be on the Iron Throne. He
right.
wanted, you know, in his creepy little way of little
right.
crush on Sansa, kind of,
exactly. So Varys gets the Dracarys, which... not too keen about. But I also noticed, and I don't know if you saw it or not,
mm-hmm.
that the look on Tyrion's face when she made that call, not amused, was not pleased.
It was almost,
did not like the call.
Almost like he was kind of hoping that she would not do that.
She should know how connected he was.
Or she could have. I don't know how, though, she would have handled it better.
She couldn't punish him. He kind of already had that happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, how would you have... How would you have made that any, I mean, how would you have handled it? How could she have handled it? I mean, I think she's at the point now that she is so, not bloodthirsty, but she is so angered.
Blind.
Yeah, she is so thirsty for power, and she's so angered at how everything has transpired so far.
Right.
And she, you know, supposedly in love with Jon Snow, who is her nephew.
Gotten past that.
You know, but it's the Targaryen way, apparently.
Right.
But, you know, here it is, like someone she supposedly is in love with that could surpass her on the way to the Iron Throne, which has been her ultimate goal since day one.
Right. Yeah, so I don't know if there is a proper punishment. That seems to be her go-to.
Yeah.
But again, it
done,
is what
done,
it
though.
Is.
Jeez.
She makes the call that the attack happens at daybreak regardless. It's going to be on, and that's all there is to it.
Right.
She's not waiting.
But then Tyrion sneaks off, and he finds his brother, who had been captured.
Also overstepped his bounds a bit.
Mm-hmm. When he told the soldiers, like, you know.
I mean, unless the order, and he's right if the order didn't come from Daenerys, it came from Grey Worm, because technically Grey Worm reports to Tyrion.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like when that word comes down, it's going to be a problem.
Oh, I fully anticipate Tyrion's going to get some sort of backlash in some way, some shape, some fashion, because Jaime was let go.
Right.
But I felt like that was a moment, another moment, where we saw Tyrion go back to those insecurities of being the dwarf, of being, you know, the outcast, mm-hmm. of the quote-unquote monster of
yep.
the family. Because just the speech that he had with Jaime, because Jaime had freed him before, too. When the whole Joffrey thing
right.
went down.
Turnabout.
And Joffrey
Call
was Jaime's
even.
Son, too. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. Joffrey was Jaime's son, my sister. But, you know, he pretty much believed Tyrion that he didn't do that.
Right.
So he let him go and kind of smuggled him out. So Tyrion's kind of repaying a debt, but he's also showing compassion and love for his brother, who never, quote-unquote, treated him like a monster.
Poorly. Right.
And then he also had this plan in his head, like, this is how you get Cersei. This is how you and Cersei and the baby can start a new life. Oh, the Iron Fleet. There won't be an Iron Fleet. You know, the dragon's going to take them out, which they did. And he had it all planned and was like, and by the way, y'all ring the bell, and that shows, oh, we surrender, and boom, bang, boom, Dany's on the throne, not a lot of lives get lost, here we go.
Right.
And so they have this whole setup and everything, and you're kind of like, this is a pretty sweet deal.
It seems way too easy.
It does. And
to have hit so many hurdles in this season alone in the trek to King's Landing, you hit that many hurdles, and even after doing all of that,
mm-hmm.
you were just going to just waltz right in there. It's on.
Right.
And I'm like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That's another one of the things. I'm like, kidding
well,
me right
up,
now? It is not that easy.
We have this fight. Come on, there's Grey Worm going crazy, stabbing people.
Right.
Let's go. Boom, 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 boom,
so
boom, boom.
So you get through that. You get to day of. You're on Greyjoy for some reason, and I don't understand outside of being a reckless idiot.
I think so.
Why are you even on a boat? Why? Why are you on a boat? For what purpose? Why are you not standing right next to your queen? Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be ridiculous.
Well, I maybe it's because that's just those people, and they're just water people, and da-di-da-di-da-di-da.
Idiot.
Yeah, he is an idiot. I mean, come on.
Also, one more quick thing before we go. Jon does arrive at King's Landing, makes it clear to Varys that he's not interested in the throne.
Absolutely.
Then he and Dany have their quiet moment of, remember, I love you, on and on and on. And she says specifically to him, I don't have anything left but to rule by fear. And
uh-huh.
she kisses him. And it's obvious by the kiss that, and you hear her say, I only have the one option. So, again, we'll get to that. So we get to morning of.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Euron Greyjoy on the ship, idiot, established. So, again, I'm not sure why people aren't looking to the sky at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently nobody's the slightest bit concerned that there may be a creature that flies about to rain
fire
on them.
Molten
and I'm like,
acid on everyone.
Right. And she makes just this massive beeline straight dive, and they go straight stormtrooper. Nobody can hit her.
Mm-hmm.
You cold cocked a different one right in the chest out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah.
How do you go that accurate sniper shot and now 1,000 ships?
Yeah.
1,000 ships in the Iron Fleet. Not the first one.
Yeah.
Not the first one that gets the hit.
Yeah.
She smokes all of them.
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
Mm-hmm.
What?
They just went all Star Trek red shirts.
Right. They did. Straight up stormtrooper.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Oh, I cannot. I cannot wrap my head around that. And I understand it's not about me. It has nothing to do with Josh and what makes the most sense. They're going to do what they want to do.
Absolutely. It's a last-minute project. We got to finish.
If it doesn't sound that way yet. So we get to the front gate, and there's kind of that standoff between the Golden Company and the hodgepodge of Unsullied and the Northern folk. And
mm-hmm.
There's that odd—I don't say odd moment, but there's the rumble. There's that big rumbling in the background, and I'm thinking, okay, I know what that is. That's the ships burning and blowing up, and then all of a sudden the gate explodes.
Mm-hmm.
She put those ballistas all the way around the city. Do they not spin all the way around?
Mm-hmm.
Do they not? I'm curious. Do
mm-hmm.
they?
Mm-hmm.
Because what? Do they swing 90? Do they swing 45? I mean, why wouldn't you spin them all the way around?
Right, exactly.
All we see is the gate explode.
Mm-hmm.
She flies right out in front of them. No one shoots. Not the first person shoots.
Look at that. Look at that dragon.
It's like, man, whoa.
Look at that dragon. We're about to die. Oh. We're about to die.
Right. Now, again, I think that moment is very dramatic because you have that huge ball of fire. That and I saw some people online going, I'm not sure Dragonfire can melt concrete. First off, this isn't the concrete we use today. This is stone and mud and water made into mortar. That's it. So you're not talking about, you know, pressurized concrete.
I mean,
let's calm down.
Hold on. Wait a minute. This is a fictional, like...
Also true.
This isn't really, like, medieval times. This is all fictional. Right. So we're going to go, man, the concrete.
Right, exactly. So, you know, so the inquest has been made, and this entire time, Cersei's just standing up there.
Just chilling, watching it. Waiting. With her smug little look.
Waiting
like,
for the smug look. Yeah, exactly. Just waiting at any moment for the dragon to fall out of the sky. And I'm not going to lie, I kind of was waiting for the same thing.
Yeah.
Because I was like, she's got so many of those crossbow-looking things. There's no way she gets that.
Nope.
I mean, she just makes sweeping passes back and forth. Nobody?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a lucky shot caught it in the tail. Ha, ha, ha. That's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. So they run into town, you know, rah, charge, yada, yada, yada.
Here we go.
Arya and the Hound both have made it through the gates the day prior, so they're making their way in.
I love that exchange, though, when she goes by the guards or some of the people of the army, because they're like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm going to go kill Queen Cersei. And he's kind of like, I got to go talk to my captain. She's like, okay, whatever. They're pretty much like, you know, if I kill her, there'll be no war.
Right. And so I'm pretty sure he's like, okay, I'll go talk to somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, this piece of lint on my shirt.
So if you look at, so Arya and the Hound are behind enemy lines. Jaime is working his way through but gets shut out at the gate. So he's got to take the long way. And again, in the fiery explosions out in Blackwater Bay, Euron appears to be blown off of a ship.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think that'd be a fitting in, but not so much.
Of course not.
So I also like as everybody rushes in, there's that standoff between Jon and all of the lieutenants of the Unsullied in the Northern Army and the Lannister Army, which is who they meet in the streets.
Right.
And the Lannister Army, who Cersei has totally talked up and will fight to the death, drop swords immediately.
Oh, yeah.
They're like,
it's pretty much like, we're done.
No, fam, we're
done. Shortly after, let's sound the bell.
Bing, bing, right. Bing, bing, the bing, bell bing, rings.
And that, and like Tyrion's face is like, yes.
The look of relief on his face.
Absolutely. He's like, Jaime did it. Mm-hmm. They're free. We don't have to. But then you go and span to Daenerys' face,
who has just finished wrapping up all the ballistas. And now that pretty much leaves, truthfully, outside of the one ballista that's still down in what's-his-face's lab, there are none of those left. But there's still that one. I just want everybody to remember that. There's still that one.
So that's
where the original trial happened.
Right, right, right.
So that happens, and there she sits. She sees the bell ring. She hears it. That has been the understanding. From the jump, you have King's Landing at your fingertips. You have the Seven Kingdoms. They're just, all you gotta do is walk in and take it.
Yeah.
That's it. Walk in
and
take it.
They pretty much were like, I'm done.
And then it happens. Her coin comes up tails, apparently, and she goes nuts.
I mean, the look on her face went from
She looked so confused. Like she wasn't sure. And then she remembered the words of her father, burn them all.
And then she turned into crazy.
Heel turn.
Yeah.
Straight. And now, it's not nearly as dramatic as we are necessarily making it out to be. Because if you've been watching and this caught you off guard, I'm curious what you've been watching.
Yeah, because we've seen it progress with her and her, again, her thirst and hunger for power.
Mm-hmm.
And here she is atop this dragon, taking out a majority of the city, and they rang the bell, and it's like, so hooray! Let's keep on going. Let's keep on doing this. Let's make our mark. Let's go ahead
and, there's nothing
and
but
seal this
left.
Deal. So that was kind of crazy.
John wins the ground battle.
Right. But when
Daenerys has taken out all the defenses.
Yeah.
King's Landing is ripe for the taking. Start fresh and go.
Let's do it.
And she goes completely off the reservation.
I mean, why not go ahead and finish it? Yeah. Like, let's go ahead and burn it all to, you know, smithereens and
let them live in fear. Who are you going to rule over?
Yeah, there's
the Unsullied?
Nobody. Yeah. Yeah.
What? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just for the record, they can't repopulate the planet.
Yeah. And just the people that live in the outskirts cities.
Right.
Are you great. You're going
to
live in
that's
this
a good
city.
Way to start. Do the uprising. Start the uprising from birth. Brilliant idea.
Yeah. Let's have everyone come and attack me from Winterfell. And
right.
Yeah. So, and then, side note, before Jaime can get to Cersei, he has quite the battle.
Yes. So, we talked about Euron being apparently blown off of the ship. Turns out he makes his way to the back entrance that Tyrion told Jaime about the same time Jaime gets there. They have their, I'm going to call it a battle, probably the best battle of the night, in
my
opinion.
It was, honestly, I enjoyed watching that. It was more intense. It had more
I cared
heart.
More about that battle.
It did, because I was like, well, it's going to end one or two ways. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to die, they're both going to die. And let's see how it goes. And Euron is, he gave it his all.
He did.
He pretty much said that he wanted to be the person to kill Jaime Lannister. And he injured him. And when he put that knife up in the old rib cage, I was like, oh, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. But I guess Jaime is just like, let's muster on through it. Let's get it. You
well,
know.
I don't think he got him in the ribs. I think he got him through the stomach.
Yeah,
like
maybe
through
so.
His side into his stomach. So, still a mortal wound. No question
yeah,
about
I mean,
it. His days were numbered.
Yeah, I mean.
You don't recover from that.
We're going to bleed out
right.
unless we go to the hospital. Or
infection,
yeah.
which is much more common and
right.
likely.
So, then, you know, he stabs him and blah, blah, blah. And he ends up, Euron is laying there in this moment of death bliss. I'm the
a
man
euphoria.
Who.
I'm
yeah.
the man who killed the Kingslayer.
Yeah, because he knows that he's not going to walk away.
Right.
And live his days.
Mm-hmm.
And so then Jaime goes and finds Cersei and is pretty much like, we got to go.
Yep. And also during that exchange, you see Arya and the Hound who've made it into the castle, mm-hmm. into the Red Keep. And they reach this point where the Hound is only here looking for revenge.
I'm going to go kill
Don't
my brother.
Don't be like me.
Yeah.
You have more to live for. Don't do this. And they have that moment and they kind of part ways. And Arya, in a sincere moment, offers him a thank you. And I think that was kind of, for him, I think that was truly the closure. Outside of his brother, he got all the closure he needed.
Yeah.
He was good right then.
Well, I think it gave him a moment of, I actually am a good guy.
Right.
Because he was always the bad guy. Bad guy, or helped the bad guys, rather.
Nothing personal. He's long since redeemed himself, whether he wanted to hear it or
absolutely.
Not.
Absolutely, but he's one of those, like, you know, I'm still bad. I'm bad.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a lot of bad things.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah.
I'm
bad.
A bad person.
But then the fight between he and the mountain, that was a pretty good fight.
Well, and that fight, really, really good. Also, another thing to go along with that, Cersei's, I'm going to call him the little worm in her ear, because that guy is greasy.
That guy you can't stand?
I have no
Chris
use
Hansen.
For that.
Have a seat.
That's right.
Have a seat.
The hand slash alchemist who created the mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah,
who basically kind
of
like got him, yeah.
By his own creation, which I also found is poetic justice.
Wonderful. Frankenstein's monster.
That's
Frankenstein.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And the mountain without the hat on, the old hood on, I was like, whew. But it almost likened to me like Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, Luke.
Mm-hmm.
No.
That's a fairly common comparison
yeah,
to be made
very
this
much.
Morning.
Very
heated battle between the two as the building is pretty much falling down around them.
Yeah, and so it's kind of like they're not going to survive this. They're just going to, mm-hmm. like, they're going to duke it out. And you think, oh, he's going to crush. We're going to, like, foreshadow, or not foreshadow, but we're going to go back. And he's going for the old eyeballs.
That's twice he's tried to crush
yeah.
a skull.
And
first
then,
time he worked.
And well, and he is so souped up or whatever with his creation
Zombie
or
juice.
Whatever that, like, you think the Hound could have killed him already. Because, I mean, he's sitting there stabbing the living snot out of him and just laughing. Because the Hound's like, it's almost like, I can't believe he's not dying.
Right.
What the world? I'm sitting
only,
here stabbing
only
the
me.
Living snot out of him. Yeah, this is great. I've spent all this time traveling, coming back to this place to kill this guy who tried to burn my face off as a child. And here we are at this moment. And then he hits him on the head. That was pretty massive.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my gosh, he's going to die then. We put him against the wall, going to crush his eyes. And then the Hound takes the knife and stabs him right in the face. and it goes through the head. Still.
And it doesn't stop him.
He doesn't die. He just looks at it like, oh, snap.
But
snaps.
He gives the hound the momentary clarity to realize the only option he's got left is to try to kill him from a fall.
Yeah.
And he just spears
football tackles.
Right
yeah.
through the wall.
Absolutely.
And they fall a very, very long way before they're met with dragon fire. So, obviously, that's done. Those two are done.
Yeah.
Also, very cool to see the hound, who has feared fire from the jump in this series, take his brother out and throwing him back into the flame. Gregor has become, Clegane has become all about that and the Lord of Light, yada, yada, yada. And he's not necessarily bothered by it. He's still kind of creeped out by it. But fearing his destiny, he works right through the fire. So I think that's a really cool way to kind of bookend that story. Those two, you know, let's put it on the shelf. We're done.
Right.
So you see, as Daenerys continues to burn the city, women, children, even the soldiers that follow her are killing and pillaging everyone. You do see a moment where Jon stops one of his own bannermen from taking advantage of a woman and kills her, kills him for it.
Yeah.
I think that's very cool. I think it's very telling of kind of the role Jon plays. He's tried to stop this fight from the get-go.
And maybe this is like a moment of clarity for Jon for the next episode, that he sees that
he didn't have a choice.
That he's going to have to do it.
Right.
He's going to have to take over because it's just going to be madness if he doesn't.
And you see Arya ducking and dodging rubble. And
oh, and blood all over her face. And you think she's then hit the bullet or bit the bullet
right.
several times. Yeah.
Right about the time, good old Aaron Rodgers, Packers quarterback, eats it. He was a guest last night.
Oh, really?
Did you not see that? Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So now we have Chris Stapleton, Aaron Rodgers. Ed Sheeran was a couple episodes back.
He was last season.
Oh,
he was
mentioned
this season, but he was visible last season.
Wow.
So this thing has become a phenomenon, to say the least. So Arya continues to duck and dodge and bits and pieces of concrete. Jaime and Cersei go down and are following the plan that Tyrion laid out for them.
Yeah, and Cersei's freaking out, and I don't want to die, and my baby, I want my baby to live. And he's like, yeah, we're going to do this. And here comes the rubble and the inevitable,
Exactly. The rubble crushes and blocks the escape. They've got nowhere to go.
And you assume, because there's some people that are saying, I didn't see it happen, but I'm thinking that's
happen.
How it happened.
I'm inclined to agree.
We started out the season of he and she, in the throes of passion. That's how we start out the series, rather. We start that out, and that's how Bran is, paralyzed. So then we end it on this somewhat sweet moment. She's pregnant with his child. He's made his way back to her. Boom.
And then as the world – and there is something to be said for when you hear the phrase, as the world collapses around him, that's really her whole world is that keep.
Yeah.
I mean, truthfully, she hadn't left the keep since she took over. Like, I've outside of the Walk of Shame, I don't think she's left the Red Keep.
Yeah.
Not that you see in the episode.
Yeah.
So that truly is, symbolically, her world crashing around
her. Yeah, everything has been taken for her. Everything
has been taken from her.
So now it's no...
Now, again, you never see the two of them die. So I'm not...
I'm thinking they're
dead. I assume they're dead.
I'm thinking they're dead.
I just... You're a little bitter that that's the way they let it happen. And without the vengeance and the swift hand of whoever.
Some sort of justice needed to happen.
Not just get crushed. Come on.
Yeah.
As bad as they have been to other people.
As bad as Cersei has been. Someone needed, the dragon could have bit her head off.
Something.
Something crazy.
Something.
A little more finesse, if you will.
Right.
But yeah.
The city's in ruin.
Mm-hmm.
Arya has this really cool white horse moment after everything is...
What do you think's going on with that?
I am of the opinion the mission has changed. Her mission has changed. It's that simple. The lady in red said green eyes. Well, if Cersei's dead, there'd been one other person in the show's main character list that has green eyes. It's Daenerys.
She's got green eyes?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
She does. So, but again, I don't think that's why Arya changed. I think the destruction and the overall downfall of the Daenerys train, if you will, has totally gone off the rails. And to stop it from being any worse, you don't have a choice. Her mission has changed.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's really, I mean, yes, it's gut check time for her. I think she's set. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah.
She's got one goal in mind. And unless Daenerys kills her outright, it's done. Mm-hmm. It is on paper. Call it a day. Close the curtains. Roll the credits. She is toast.
Yeah.
And again, unless Daenerys specifically says, I want her dead. That's it. I want her dead in front of me. That's the only way that doesn't happen.
Yeah. I don't think with everything that has gone on and all the stuff that Arya has come through and that she was the one to kill the White Walker, the king, I think that's probably, they're not going to let her. I mean, I could be surprised. I could be wrong.
I mean, this series has been known to throw twists at you.
Yeah.
People you never expect.
Yeah.
So where does that leave us? That leaves us with an empty throne currently.
Yeah.
That you assume Daenerys will take.
Right.
Jon is left.
Mm-hmm.
Grey Worm is left.
Yes. Arya.
Arya is left.
Winterfell is still intact. Yeah. We still have over Greyjoy, the sister.
You still have the sister.
She's off in the distance.
Right. And I think she's been left to linger on purpose. I don't think her day is done. I feel like she will have a role next week.
Maybe so.
Also, notably absent from this episode, Gendry was nowhere to be found in this episode.
Brienne.
Well, she's going to go where Sansa goes. That's pretty much how her story arc's going to finish.
She's
not going to show up.
She's going to hang at Winterfell.
Pretty much. Unless Winterfell comes south. There's no reason.
Unless Winterfell does an uprising and they're like, come on, we're going to fight for Jon.
Most of the Bannermen still went with Jon, so their troops are limited. I don't think that's going to happen.
So it'll be interesting to see next week how it's going to wrap up.
The finale. Comes to a
screeching halt.
That's a really good way to put it.
I mean, it's like.
So, now that we are one away, who sits on the throne? In Jenya's mind, who sits on the throne? Oh, she's not sure.
We had this conversation about democracy is formed. That would be kind of cool.
I as much as I'd love that conversation, it's really not realistic.
What if it's someone out of nowhere, just out of left field, out of nowhere?
From out of nowhere.
That
still hasn't let you. Still haven't picked.
I mean, Arya would be a good choice, but Arya is more of a warrior, someone who's going to fight.
Yep.
What if Sansa?
That seems to be a major thing. People are waiting on her and Tyrion to take the throne together.
I mean, they're still technically married.
They are still technically married, which they could ascend the throne as a pair with Arya as the commander of the King's Guard. I think that would be pretty cool. And a lot of people are asking about Jon Snow. I'm wondering if it all shakes out. And I heard this theory, and I like this theory, albeit far-fetched. I think Jon... After all of this fallout, Daenerys is gone. Everybody around him is gone. The throne is at his fingertips, and he still made it clear he didn't want it. I have heard in a rumor, and this is just a rumor, and this is one person's opinion, and I love it.
Good for you, person.
Jon goes north, lives out the remainder of his days north of the Wall with Tormund. Back to the Wildlings. The only place he felt comfortable. It's the only place he's ever felt comfortable.
Well, he felt like an outcast to begin with.
Right.
Oh.
So that, and again, that leaves.
Or they create their own kind of little colony. Like it's not really necessarily Wildlings anymore.
Right.
Maybe they create their own.
They're the Free Folk.
Yeah.
They've changed from Wildlings to Free Folk. I love that idea. I just, after watching this season play out, I don't see that happening. I don't think they'd let that happen. The easy answer is Jon takes the throne. Like he has no choice. He's thrown into it, and I'm the righteous, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
So what do you think? What did we miss? Let us know.
Oh,
online,
by the way.
All of our social media platforms. What's this?
What's this? Rating. We didn't do a rating.
You really want my rating?
I'm going to give it a 4.1.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I thought I'd be the only one that low.
No.
3.8.
I was at the point, at some points, I was like, you know when you're in the middle of a movie that you paid good money to see and you're like, I wish this would hurry up already and be done because it's really not worth my time. I felt like I wanted to fast forward. I know I couldn't because I would miss something, obviously.
We wouldn't have anything to talk about.
Well, I mean, to be like, yeah, the first 5 minutes were great. in the last 2 minutes were awesome.
I just feel like they have tried to shove everything into a pop quiz.
Well, and I think, too, like the episode with the whole big battle, The Longest Night, it was great. It was wonderful. That's what the end finale should have been. So maybe next week's episode is going to be the great big bye-bye that
there's
we
nobody
all
left. There's nobody left to fight. Nobody. She's got the only army left.
Maybe it'd only been 10 minutes long.
No, it's still another 90 minutes. Or 82 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, we'll see.
Could have been three more episodes.
Absolutely.
Let us know online, Off Air Flare. You can follow us on social media. Let us know what you think. Yep. And we'll do it one more time next week.
And then we're back to the ramblings.
Back to the day-to-day ramblings. That's right. And if you want to look at any of our old podcasts, WAKG.com.